Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Do you want to grab a seat? I hear there were some amazing testimonies last week from different people. Is that right?
Yeah.
Different people that are here. I was down in Southampton last Sunday speaking at a church down there and had a great time with them. Down on the coast. God's doing a lot at the moment. And we've had some amazing Sunday mornings recently. A lot going on. But this morning I just felt, Lord, kind of say, look, you know, we just want to take stock a little bit. And he wants to bring a bit more of a word in this way than we've had. It's been quite flowy, isn't it, the last few weeks. And the word has sort of come out in the context of worship, prophetic, and all of that kind of stuff. But there's just some things I believe God wants to just say to us, speak to us about in terms of the season that we're in and what God is doing. So if you want to grab your Bible, just turn to Luke 18. I know we're reading through the book of Luke this month. And if you haven't got the little flyer that shows you what chapters we're doing, you can grab one of those in the hub afterwards. It's not quite as simple this month as Luke 1 on March the 1st, Luke 2 on March the 2nd. It's a little bit broken up here and there in different chapters, so just to keep step with what we're doing and just continuing wanting to go deeper with God so that we can go further in his purposes. We want to be people who are rooted in the word of God. Is that right? So if we're going to be rooted in the word, then we want to be spending some time in the word, reading the word and giving a bit of space and time for God to speak to us and reveal more of who he is in the word. And so we're reading through the Gospel of Luke. We want to know Jesus more. We want to know who he is, what he says, how he works, how he moves. And we want to continue to allow the roots of our lives, our relationship with God, to go deeper. So like an oak tree, for example, the deeper the roots, the more healthy the tree and the more fruitful it is. And then it reproduces that same life and many other trees, many other things come from that tree. Same in our lives. We want the roots of our relationship with God to go deeper and so that the health and the life of who God is in us produces more of the nature and character of Christ in us so that we become more fruitful in our lives, in our families, in our work world, in every way that we're reaching out to people in what God's doing. And that fruit is fruit that God wants to last and remain. God doesn't just want fruit for a season, does he? He wants fruit that's going to last in our lives. So what happens in us lasts. What happens through us and impact in other people's lives lasts. It's not an emotional based response. It's a response from the will, where we're engaging our hearts and our wills with God and what he's doing, so that as he works in our lives and as he continues to transform our lives, that transformation remains and it stays, because we're seeking to plug our will in with God day by day, day by day, day by day, so that who God is grows in our lives and is more kind of dominant, if you like, in who he is in us. And we're going to look a little bit in this story of the parable of the persistent widow, because one of the things God's speaking to us about is being a house of prayer. As well as being a people of the word and getting rooted in the word, it's also being a people of prayer at this time. Now, how many of you face challenges in your life? Sometimes you can see those things coming, sometimes you don't. There's personal challenges, there's personal breakthroughs, if you like, that we need to see. Where circumstances, it could be a sickness somebody gets diagnosed with. And then you need to see God's victory in that circumstance, so that the facts of that sickness don't determine your life. Instead, the truth of what he says about you determines how you then think, how you speak, how you pray, what you believe. And so then the facts change in our bodies to line up with the truth of who God is, because we're listening to the truth of what God is saying and not the facts of the circumstances. Anybody with me, right? The same in any sphere of our life. So one of the reasons why we daily want to be in the word is so that we're daily submitting our minds, our thinking, the circumstances of our lives. We are surrendering who we are to the Lord. And we're saying, God, I want to sit, I want to read your word, and I want to be under your lordship. And I want the truth of what your word says to define how I think, the attitudes of my heart, what I believe. And as we spend time reading the word, the Holy Spirit is going to then speak and reveal things about who God is in the word. But he also reveals things about us in his word, where maybe our faith or our thinking or our attitudes, hearts don't line up with maybe what he is saying in his word. And so therefore, that's a moment where you say, okay, God, I'm going to surrender that way of thinking. Or I need to ask you to forgive me for that motive. Or I need you to do something in me where I believe what your word says, because I might know that in my mind, but I don't necessarily believe it in my heart. And so I want to surrender my thinking, my heart, my motives and everything to your word, so that I'm a person of faith, not just in knowledge, but in the way that I live and then work out my relationship with you. And so as well as going into the word, we want to be a people of prayer. Okay. And the two are linked, word and prayer, because our prayer is only going to be as effective as what we believe. God's not interested in hearing many, many words. We hear that when Jesus speaks and teaches about prayer. He says he's not interested in many words. Go into a room on your own where nobody else is around, and whatever you pray in secret will be rewarded in public, if you like. That's not that God gives you a platform so that you look good or I look good. What it is what we do in secret, we then see the fruit of out in our lives in terms of how we are living. So God has spoken to us about being a people of prayer. And one of the things that he said about this year is that the first 7 days of every month, the first to the seventh of each month, we're to be praying 24/7 as a church. In all the different congregations, we're joining together to pray 24/7 for what God wants to do in that month. It's easy to live year by year. Here's our vision. This is what God's doing. This is what he wants to do this year. But God spoke to us and said, I want you to believe for what I want to do every month. So there's a little bit of a health check, a little bit of an accountability check for us. It's easy, isn't it, as Christians, to pray loads of stuff. God do this, God do that, God do the other. But and in prayer meetings, it's easy to pray a lot of prayers. But do we ever come back and say, how's it going? What's happening? Are we seeing what we're praying happen? And the praying of the 24/7, first 7 days of the week, is something God's speaking to us about because of what he wants to do each month. Now, in relation to that, God has been speaking to us about having faith objectives. Your faith must always have an objective. If we have no objectives, we don't need any faith. Because what do we need faith for? See, faith enables you to begin to see things happening that are not happening at this moment. See, when Paul's writing in Romans about faith, he says that faith speaks to things that are not as though they were. So what does faith do? Faith sees things happen that are not currently happening. Now, we know faith is more than what we speak. Faith is then how we act in regards to what we believe. But if we don't believe something, we're not initially even going to speak something, let alone act upon what God is saying. Okay? So our prayer has got to be faith-filled prayer if it's going to be effective and it's going to see fruit, that, you know, results come from it. So in order to be a people of faith in our prayer, we need to be a people of the word, which God is speaking to us about, getting into the book of Luke this month, and maybe some of the spin-offs you might have as you're reading the word. God begins to speak to you about something, and then you think, hang on a minute, there's another scripture about this, there's another one, and you find you go down a little kind of few bunny trails of where God takes you, revealing some things in the word. Is that right? Anybody else finding that, or is it just me? Okay. Because God might not just stick to the text, you know, that we're reading, but it's a launch pad. into what God wants to do and say into each one of our lives. So the prayer, we want prayer, or God wants the prayer to be faith-filled. If it's going to be faith-filled, then it needs to be full of what He is saying and what He wants to do. It's easy to pray what we want, but it's best to pray what He wants. See, God wants to work things out in you, in your life and my life. He wants to work His will and His purpose out. He wants our lives to be fruitful and effective, okay? But the best way for them to be fruitful and effective is if we know what God wants, and we know what God wants by what He says in His word. And if we know what He says in His word, we know what He wants, then we know how to pray. Not just what to pray, but also how to pray. Our prayer then becomes faith-filled. Our prayer then becomes expectant that something's going to happen because God has spoken. When God has spoken, we know He watches over that to make sure that what He's spoken happens or it's performed or whatever. But He chooses to work through us as believers to work with, to work His word in us so that we believe it. And then we begin to pray that on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a release of God's purposes in heaven on earth as we hear Him, believe what He says, and then we begin to speak that, declare that, and begin to act upon it. And we then begin to see the outcome from it. I was praying the other day when I was reading Luke chapter 1. I jotted a few little one-liners down. Do you ever get those when you're praying and God's speaking to you? Do you ever get any little one-liners? And you think, oh yeah. You know, I don't tweet very often, but you know, lots of people who tweet seem to get these one-liners, but maybe I should tweet these a bit more. But anyway, one of the things that God spoke to me was this. Without prayer, there is no transaction between heaven and earth. Without prayer, there is no transaction between heaven and earth. See, worship, there's transaction going on between heaven and earth, right? Because we're joining in. What is worship? Worship is joining in with what the host of heaven are doing now, day and night, day and night, day and night. Is that right? Worship isn't just singing a couple of songs with a couple of guitars, is it? Worship is joining in with heaven and worshiping God around His throne and meeting with Him, okay? So there's a transaction between heaven and earth going on, and it reveals more of who God is in our lives. As we worship, we're saying, God, You're greater than me. You're greater than anybody else. You're worthy of all praise and adoration. What are You doing? You are surrendering your life afresh to Him because You're saying, God, You're awesome. You're incredible. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're just so beyond compare. And He reveals who He is. He shows you something who He is. So there's a transaction going on in that way, okay? But in terms of God wanting to outwork His purposes, He's given us this thing called prayer. Now, how many of you know that God does not need our prayer? Oh. God doesn't need our prayer. We're the ones that need prayer. Are you with me? We're the ones that need prayer. Now, what happens when we pray, if we're going to listen to God? I wrote something else down here where God said to me, prayer enables you to come from your reality into my reality. Prayer takes you out of your reality and brings you into my reality. How come? Because when we pray, we don't just want to pray from the level we're living at, how we see things, and then tell God what we think He should do to change things on the level that we're living. See, God sees things in a different way than we do. Because He sees things from a possible mentality, not necessarily an impossible one. And so, when He speaks, what does He do? He lifts us out of our possibilities, and He lifts us into His possibilities. So when He speaks to us, we get His mind on something. We get His thinking. We get His heart. We get His will. We discover, okay, God, this is what You want to do. And so God lifts us out of our reality and how we see it into His reality of how He sees it. And then we begin to engage with God from a place of faith then, not just a place of, I hope something might happen. I hope I'm saying the right things. I hope if I pray long enough, I might convince God, if I can get his arm up behind his back enough, if I can convince him to do what I think he should be doing. Whereas God's saying, no, there's a much easier way to pray. And that's to hear from me, to know what I want to do, and then you pray that into the situation. So it's not us saying to God, God, would you do this? God, would you do that? God, would you do the other? He's saying, no, I know what I want to do. What I want is to show you what I want to do, so that faith rises up on the inside of you, so that you see the possibilities in the impossibilities. You see the possibilities where everybody else is saying, it's not possible. These are the symptoms. These are the circumstances. This is the whatever it might be in front of you. And God speaks to us, and then we then just speak and declare and pray what he is saying. Now, the Bible talks about in 1 John 5 that when we pray in that way, when we know what God wants and we pray his will, then he hears us. And then it says, then we know that we have what we asked of him. That sounds like guaranteed answers to me. How many of you want a guarantee that when you pray, you're going to see a result? You're going to see answers, right? 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. There's your guarantee to see prayer answered. But it's not our prayer. It's God's will being prayed. So it's his prayer, if you like, through us to accomplish what he wants to do. Prayer takes on a completely different dynamic when we pray what God wants. How many of you know when you don't know what God's saying, you're not sure, you can't quite make a decision, you're not really definite or confident about something, you're a bit like, well, I'm not really sure, I don't know what God wants, and your emotions are a bit involved, you're weighing up a few things, what's the right thing, what's the right decision, and you're kind of a little bit all over the place with it. But then God speaks. And what do you find happen when God speaks? Suddenly there's clarity. Suddenly all the questions that you have been asking change. Instead of weighing it all up, what about this? What if that? What about that? If I do it, well, if I, you know, and God speaks, and at that moment something definite happens on the inside of you. Because the Bible says that faith is sure and certain. So when God speaks, something sure and something certain begins to happen on the inside of you that then deals with some of the doubt or the fears or the unbelief or the questions that happen at that moment. And suddenly there's clarity in what God wants to say, which then brings confidence to then say, hey, that's what God wants. That's what he said. I just know on the inside something's happened, and now I can pray from a place of confidence or a place of faith, or I know now how I need to act because God has spoken. Are you with me? Why don't we pray sometimes? There's probably a number of reasons, aren't there? Maybe we just think, well, I don't know if I'm going to get an answer, or I don't know if I'll see it happen anyway. Or I don't know what to pray. There's a lot of different things. Sometimes it's just that there's that opposition to prayer, that spiritual opposition to prayer. Because the enemy, the devil, knows how effective a believer is when they pray with faith. Because the devil knows when a believer prays with faith, he can't resist it. Ultimately, he knows he's going to lose when a believer prays with faith. Now, God has been speaking to us about praying 24/7 at the beginning of each month, but he's also wanted to build this relationship, this intimacy with him, which prayer flows from, relationship. He wants us to be walking with him daily as we're going through whatever book we're reading any given month. To get into the word, to root ourselves in him, to be listening, speaking. Remember that acrostic we use in SOAP. Scripture is S, reading the words, reading scripture. O is observation. What's the revelation? What's God saying to you? A is application. So what does that mean? If I'm reading the word, I don't just want to read it so I can tick a box to make myself feel better. So I've read the word today. Brilliant. That makes me feel better. No, we want to read the word because we want to know him. We want to read the word because we want him to reveal who he is in our lives. We want to read the word because we know that this is going to enable us to live in the way that God wants us to live. The word shows us how to be, how to live, how to think, how to treat one another. It shows us how to be a person of faith in our lives. So read scripture. What's the observation? What's he saying? And then what's the application? What does that mean for me? What's going to be different today as a result of what God is saying? And then P, which is prayer. Then pray that through. Whatever that means for you. Now, we're encouraging everybody, right from the kids through to everybody else, to, if you like, if we put it this way, soap with God every day. All right? So, reading scripture, what's God saying, observation, what's the application, and then praying through that, okay? I don't know how many, you know, I'm not going to do a show of hands or anything, but was it you, Pastor Colin, that said the other day that you don't know, you don't realise when you're 5 years old and then you're 35, you don't notice when you actually grew from one age to the other? Pastor Colin was speaking the other day, was it here or... I can't remember where it was, one of the meetings, anyway, keynote. You know, how many of you remember a moment where you suddenly just grew? That we grow moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month in our lives. That when you look back, whatever age you are, you look back to when you were a child and you think, well, I don't actually remember the moment that I went from a child to an adult, or I went from 2 foot to 5 foot. Or however tall you are, and or 6 foot. It just happens daily, daily, daily. You never felt yourself grow. You didn't turn around one day and say, well, I feel like I've grown 2 feet since yesterday. Or I feel like my body's just being stretched today and suddenly I'm taller and stronger or whatever than I was yesterday. It's something that just happens. And often in our relationship with God, that's what it's like. Because God doesn't base our relationship on feelings. Do I feel like I'm growing today? I'm spending time with the Lord. Do I feel like I'm in his presence? Do I feel like something's happening? Do I feel like when I read the word that something's going on in me? I think if we're not careful and we base how we think we're doing with God on our feelings, then sometimes you're going to be thinking, wow, this is awesome. I just feel amazing and God's a great, you know. But other days when you don't feel anything, you're like, oh, where's God today? I don't feel him. And that, what God is wanting to really just encourage us with at this time, is to be self-feeders in the word. That we can't rely on somebody else's relationship with God. Even when you're married, you can't rely on your husband or your wife's relationship with God. There's a unique relationship that you have with God and that he has with you that nobody else can replicate. Nobody else can reproduce that. There's something unique that God has with you and you have with God that is fresh, that is vibrant, that is so personal and intimate for you that nobody could replace that. Not even your husband or wife. Nobody could replace that intimacy, that walk, that relationship, the way that God speaks to you, the way that you speak to him, that interaction between you and him, heaven and earth, between you and God. And God is jealous for you. He's jealous for you. He's jealous for your time. He's jealous for intimacy with you and me. And he longs for that intimacy. And so as a church, we can encourage one another. Let's spend some time every day. Let's be in his presence and let's just have the word. Let's have a notepad ready. You know, let's jot some things down as we're, you know, listening to God and what he's saying to us. And then as you begin to pray, your prayer then begins to be more faith-filled because it's happening in the context of relationship and not just in the context of a prayer meeting. It's happening in the context of relationship and everything that then flows from there. So then when God says to us, I want you to pray the first 7 days of every week and there's 168 hours in the week and between all of us in the church, you know, we could have 5, 6, 7, 8 people praying every hour to be able to fill those 168 when you multiply everybody up. Because God's saying, I'm looking for a people of intimacy. Because I want to reveal my heart to a people who are intimate with me. Then a people who are going to agree and pray in relation to my will. What I want to do, not just in them, but through them to impact their friends, their families. There's bigger things going on than just what's around our personal lives. We see the challenges of what's going on in society and nations at this time. The whole thing about Europe coming up, are we going to be in or out and all that kind of stuff, could have a massive impact on who we are as a nation. There's stuff going on, you know, at this time, and we want to know how to pray, what to pray. And in those contexts, God, we need your wisdom. We need your wisdom as to what to pray. We need your wisdom to know decisions to make. I just want to... you might not like this little statement I'm going to read out now, but this is something that I believe God said to me the other day. Prayer is dependency on God. Lack of prayer or no prayer is a form of atheism that says, I can live and handle this without God. That's quite a strong little statement to make. But that's what, as I was writing things down, I just felt God say to me, Clive, if you're not praying, it's like a form of atheism, because you're basically saying, God, I don't need you. I can handle this myself. Because what does atheism say? Atheism says we don't need God. Or atheism says there isn't one. But they're basically saying we don't need God. We are God. We can handle this. We can do our own thing. And that's quite a strong little statement to make. But I said to God in writing my little things down, I said, God, I don't want to be an atheist in any way whatsoever in my life. Where there's anything in me that says I can handle this, that's all right. I only need God for certain things. Now, we would all say with our minds, well, of course I need God for everything in my life. But actually, in the reality, when we walk it out, are there some things where we say, well, that's all right, I can handle that. But there's other things where it's like, oh, God, I need you to do something. I need you to work. I feel a bit out of my depth. This challenge is beyond me. I don't know what to do. But actually, what God is saying, no, I want every moment of your life to be dependent on who I am. Do you remember the three chairs we had last year, the great rest? Stuff. The first chair was before you get saved and what that's like. The middle one was living in the great rest. And the third one was when we try and do things in our own self-effort and what that's like. Do anybody remember those?
Yeah.
Liberating, weren't they? In terms of living in the rest of God. Well, that's what God is after. That's what God wants in our lives. That we live in that place of rest. Where we're saying, God, I want to live in that moment-by-moment relationship with you where I'm not dependent on myself in any way. But I trust in you. We haven't actually got round to the parable of the widow, have we? Persistent widow, we haven't got there yet. Sorry about that. Anyway, there is a story in Luke chapter 18 about a parable that Jesus gives about a persistent widow. You can read it in your own time, at your own leisure, and see what God speaks to you through that. But we obviously haven't got there this morning. Here's one last phrase, because this is where this phrase links in with this story. The persistent widow was going to a judge, basically, wanting justice, and he kept ignoring her, saying, nah, get lost, not interested. But she kept going to him and going to him and going, and basically wore him down. And in the end, the judge said, just give her whatever she wants, for goodness sake, you know. And no reference to women whatsoever there, okay? It's Mother's Day. I'll leave that part of the message out, okay? It's interesting how he uses a widow and not a bloke. But anyway, I won't go there. And a woman, sorry. What does Jesus say at the end, though? Or what does he say in this parable? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? See, what was the story about? The story was about actually being a person of faith. Because a person of faith is persistent. And one of the things God spoke to me about as well, one of the things I wrote down was, if you pray occasionally, you'll get occasional results. But if you pray constantly, you'll get constant results. If you pray for the sick occasionally, you'll get occasional results. But if you pray for the sick constantly, you'll get constant results. If you witness to people every now and then, you'll get an every now and then result. But if you're witnessing constantly, you'll get... Join in. This is a... Just pretend you're in some kind of kids meeting for a minute. you'll get constant results. Now, imagine you put that in the context of a body, a group of people, okay? And God says, I want you to pray continually. That's what he said the first 7 days of the month. Pray continually, 24/7. It might not mean that you and me pray continually. I've got to pray and stay awake for 24 hours for 7 days, and, you know, to pray. But what he's saying is, spiritually, if we pray and we pass the baton on from 1 hour to the next hour to other people that are praying, what we are doing, we're praying persistently and constantly. We're praying what God has said. He said, what are your faith objectives? What am I showing you to believe in terms of family members, friends being saved, or whatever it might be in front of you that you need to see happen? And that we're joining together persistently to see breakthroughs in people's lives every day, every week, every month of this year, that we see breakthroughs going on. And it's not just going to happen through a few people. God is speaking to all of us about being part of what he is doing. Now, the Bible says that if two on earth agree about anything, my Father will do it. My Father in heaven will do it. It will be accomplished. But imagine if five agree, 10 agree. The Bible says one will chase 1,000, but two will chase 10,000. What happens if 500, 600, 700 agree on something? What happens then? There's stuff that needs to happen in and around our lives. There's things that need to happen in this town in Horsham. There's things that need to happen in this 25-mile radius. There's things that need to happen in our nation. You might say, well, I'm not exactly a person of prayer. None of us are. The only way we become people of prayer is by beginning to pray, and the Holy Spirit then gets involved and enables you to pray and helps you to pray. There's not one person in this room that is good at praying. There isn't. You might say, yeah, but I know so-and-so in the congregation, and she's a real intercessor. Or I know this guy, he just prays loads. Same Holy Spirit for every one of us. And he can enable us to pray in a way that, well, I just can't. And you begin to spend time with God, and God begins to work in you. You begin to pray, he begins to speak, something starts to happen. Sometimes when God speaks, we then have to position ourselves for something to happen. Yeah. See, sometimes God speaks and we go, well, go on then, do it. And God's like, no, you've got to position yourself. So when he says, I want you to pray, or I want you to read the word, or I want you to soap, or whatever it is, you have to position yourself for something to happen. You have to respond to what God is saying for something to be released, for something to take place in your heart and your life. So God's called us to be a house of prayer, not just people who pray prayers, but people of prayer. So I want to encourage you. We've got a couple of days left. We've got today and tomorrow. Today's the 6th. Tomorrow's the 7th. And there are still, it's not about having a few empty slots. It doesn't matter how many people we have praying at any given time. Some of the prayer hours this last week, there's been like 7 or 8 people all praying at the same time in different places. Great. It's not about, you know, make sure we've at least got at least one person, you know, so we can go, right, we've done it, done our bit, you know. It's not about that. It's about us being mobilized to hit things in the spirit this week, these 7 days, that are going to unlock things that God wants to do in the rest of the month. And everybody's part of that. I don't want to be an atheist in any part of my life saying, God, I don't need you. I can do that and handle that myself. How many of you have got things you need to see happen in and around your life? All of us in some way or other, right? And so I want to encourage you, plug in to what God is saying and what he is doing. What does it then say? We'll finish with this. Luke chapter 1, the first chapter that we started reading earlier in the week. Blessed is the one who has believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Blessed is the one who has believed what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Blessed is the person who believes what the Lord has said. Blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Live blessed. Bible says it easy there or straightforward. Blessed is the person who believes what God has said will be accomplished. I want to live in God's blessing. Now, that's not a selfish, I just want to be blessed. but I want to live in the flow of his blessing. See, what is God talking about, if we can put it this way? He's talking about us living in a flow of who he is. If we're daily in the word, we begin to live in a flow of his life and a momentum of his life that will build and build. If you begin to live in a flow of prayer like that, you'll begin to see a flow of results that begin to come, because there's now a flow going on in our lives, a momentum that's not based on, oh, I've got a situation, I better go and pray about it. But actually, God wants us to live in a place of victory and breakthrough, so that no matter what comes this way, as we're going that way, we don't have to suddenly stop and say, oh God, I need a breakthrough. Because we're living in a momentum, in a place of breakthrough. No matter what comes this way, there's breakthrough already coming that's going to hit that thing and overcome that thing. So that no matter what comes up in our lives, we're already in a place where I've got the victory already, because I'm living in a place of victory. It's really quiet this morning. But that's how God wants us to live as, it's not just for us. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for everybody else out there that needs a breakthrough. That challenges us, because constantly we're not living for ourselves. But the Bible says, blessed is the person who believes what God has said. All we need to do is believe and act upon it. God will take care of us being blessed, us having whatever we need. So your prayer life and your prayer time doesn't need to be just focused on you or me, as in not you praying for me, but I mean ourselves. What you find is some of that will be about you and God, but then you'll find some of it's about praying for others. Because what begins to happen when you spend time with God is he begins to download his heart into your heart, and you begin to get some things going on in you that you were like, wow, I didn't even know it was there. And God said, no, it wasn't until I spent time with you and you with me, and I began to put something in your heart that you can't get away from, because now you're getting stirred up with my heart. And when you get stirred up with God's heart, it's like, God, you begin to pray in a different way. It's less about, God, would you meet my needs and would you bless me because I want to feel better today. You get beyond that when you get into a flow of God. When you get into a flow with God, then it's like, God, what do you want to do today? How do you want to move today? What do you want me to speak today? What do you want to release today? What do you want to overcome today? How do you want to move today? Am I the only person alive in here this morning, or is anybody else alive? How many of you want to live? Let's jump to our feet. Come on. God wants us to be like a persistent widow, that we are rattling heaven with faith. That's what that story's about. Jesus is basically saying, you need to knock on heaven constantly. That's what I'm saying here, Jesus was saying. When I gave you that parable, be like a persistent widow. The judge is like God. That's what he's basically saying. You're the widow. God's the judge. And you're going to him saying, God, give us justice. Give us what we need. Give us what we need to see. And God loves that kind of prayer. It's not that God's going to turn around and say, no, get lost. But what God's going to say is, do you really mean it? Do you really want it? Do you really want it? Or is it just you feel like it today, but tomorrow it'll be something else? Do you really want my purposes? Do you really want justice? Do you really want to see salvations, healings, whatever it might be? And I think then God's saying, when I really see that from the heart, I'm going to increase and move through you. Yeah. Do you really want it? Do you really want it? Do you really want it? That's what Jesus is saying. Will he find faith on earth when he comes? What does that mean? Will he find a people that are listening to God, responding to God, flowing with God, praying what he's saying, declaring what he's speaking, and all that kind of stuff? Why? Because we're more concerned with the bigger picture of what God's doing than just what's happening in our own lives. Bit of a preach today. Is that all right? So let's just close our eyes for a minute and let's just respond to the Lord. Firstly, just thank him that you're alive here this morning, that you're not dead. You're alive, okay? Just thank him that you are saved, that he's done amazing things in your life. Don't forget the basics, which is, God, I thank you that you've forgiven me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm a child of yours. I'm a son of yours, a daughter of yours. Thank you for the amazing things you've done in my life. I give you praise and give you adoration. I don't ever want to take you for granted. I don't just want to become a Christian that is coasting. I want to live in top gear. I want to live in the way that you want me to live. So Father, I thank you. You've given me your Holy Spirit to enable me to be who you've called me to be. Now just be honest with God. Say, God, I'm rubbish at prayer. You think, that's not very faith-filled. Just tell God, God, I'm rubbish at praying. I can't do it. I am rubbish at praying. I need you.
That's right.
Holy Spirit, I need you. Just talk to him. It'd be good if you prayed out a little bit more and just activated your faith a bit more, saying, God, I don't know how to pray. Paul speaks about that in Romans 8. When we don't know what to pray, how to pray, the Spirit will intercede on behalf or himself, you know, for us. It's like, God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to be a person of prayer. But Holy Spirit, I want you to teach me. I want you to show me. I want you to take me on a journey. As well as getting rooted in your word in a fresh way, God, would you take me on a journey to engage with you in a place of prayer that I've never known before? How many of you want that in your life? God, you're going to have to position yourself for it. You need to scratch off a bit of time in your diary every day and say, that is my time with God, and nothing else is going to get in the way of that. You need to scratch it out. You might need to get up a little bit earlier. You might need to make that time in the day. You might need to say, right, lunchtime, when I'm at work, between 1 and 1:45, I'm going off for a prayer walk. I'm going here or whatever. That's my time with God. You might be in the morning. Maybe you don't have to leave at 5 on a train to go to London or whatever. You might say, right, you know, if I don't have that, 7 o'clock, that's my time with God. 6:30, that's my time with God. And what you find when you start positioning yourself and setting yourself for something, something begins to happen on the inside of you. An acceleration, an increase, an acceleration, an increase. Just go on the website, kingdomfaith.com/247, and it takes you to the prayer page. Over the next couple of days, just get involved. Say, God, I'm going to position myself for something new and fresh to happen. I don't want to pray for myself in that time. I want to pray for the people that you've put on my heart to reach out to. Yeah. I want to see a breakthrough in this situation. That's it. That's what I'm praying into. God, I don't know how to pray, but I'm going to position myself, and I thank you you're going to start to do something new and fresh. God, I want the spirit of prayer to come upon my life in a fresh way. How many of you want the spirit of prayer in your life? That's not something we can just lay hands on you and say, come on, spirit of prayer, come upon them. The spirit of prayer will come upon your life as you pray. Oh, I want a McDonald's type of thing right now. Where, you know, you just come in and just a quick, you know, slap, damn, do. Here we go. Oh, hallelujah. The things that last take a bit of time to cultivate. Yeah. Things that last take a bit of time to cultivate. So just position yourself in your heart, in your mind, in your response this morning. Any areas where, if we can put it this way, you're still a little bit of an atheist in the sense of, well, I don't really pray about that because I can handle that. Now, God has given us gifts and talents and abilities in our lives so that we can be effective in the way that we live or our work world and all of that. But what we're saying is, God, I don't want to even operate in those in my own effort. I want to put those into your hands and I want to be led by you in the way that those giftings are outworked. I want to live in a place of trust so that I'm surrendering all those things to you so that you can work in and through those in the way that you want to. So, Father, we thank you. We praise your name. So, mate, if there's any areas where, God, I don't trust, I'm still a little bit atheistic, where I don't need you, I only pray about certain things. God, I don't want any of that in my life at all. Unusual analogy, but you get the meaning. Father, I thank you. Wednesday night, we've got the VIP this Wednesday, just remembering that, victory in prayer. The VIP is when all the congregations come together and pray. So I want to encourage you to be part of that on Wednesday here at 7:30, because we're going to pray the will of God, the purposes of God. We don't want to be a little bit atheistic and say, well, you know, I'll let others do it, or I don't know if God answered me. No, let's position yourself for something new and fresh to happen in your life. I know there's some practicals. Sometimes we can't all make it. But if we can make it, let's be here together agreeing for the purposes of God. We're going to pray into our faith objectives. We're going to pray into stuff for the town, the region, even the nation. There's a lot going on in the nations. We're here to be a house of prayer. And as you come into that moment, there'll be a great release of the spirit of prayer on your life. Something new and fresh will begin to happen in you. So, Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Father, I ask you that you would work in our homes, in our households, in our families, that as we, as parents and as adults, give ourselves to you, something new and fresh will get released into our children. As Pastor Colin brought that word the other day about the analogy of the teapot. The teapot belongs to God. We don't want to live with the lid on and every now and then take it off and, God, would you bless me? But actually, if we live with the lid off, there's that constant flow of God in and through our lives. As we leave our lives, position our lives under the flow of what he's doing, then that flow goes in and flows out, flows in and flows out. Constant flow, constant flow. That's how we want to live. Is that right? Yes. With a constant flow of who he is in us and through us. Yes. We have to position yourself for that. Sometimes that might look like 6 o'clock in the morning. This is my hour with God. This is my time. It might look like lunchtime because that's the best. It might look like in the evening. Whatever it looks like, I'm positioning myself to keep the lid off so there's that flow of life in and through me, in and through me, in and through me. If you're a parent, what happens in your home is determined by you, not your kids, by you. If you keep the lid off and there's that flow in and through your life, the lids will come off your kids' lives. There'll be that flow in and through them. We haven't got time to go into what that looks like. But Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Just turn to somebody else and say, I am not an atheist.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.